every eye up front and no talking for our lesson for tonight. Last week in our lesson, we met the man by the name of Boaz. We found out that that man, Boaz, when he met Ruth, he knew all about her. And he knew that Ruth had come to put her trust under the wings of the Almighty God. What a tremendous thing. And that's why we've been singing that song, Under His Wings. Psalms 57 and verse 1 says, Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, for in Thee do I trust. And I will put my trust under the shadow of Thy wings until these calamities be overpassed. We read also in the book of Psalms in chapter 17 where it says, Keep me as the apple of Thy eye. Yes, hide me under the shadow of Thy wings. Psalms 36, How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. Yes, she was under His wings for protection. And so likewise we can come under His wings and be protected. For the Lord has promised that. But also we find that He is our help. And we read in Psalm 63, Because Thou hast been my help, therefore under the shadow of Thy wings will I take refuge. And then also, not only is He there for our protection and for our help, but He is there for our safety as well. We had that verse, Psalms 91, where it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my strength and my God, in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with thy feathers and under His wings, with His feathers, rather, under His wings shalt thou trust. Yes, there's safety under His wings. What a great day it was for Ruth as she went into those fields of Boaz. And there, not only did she find plenty to glean, but we found that He invited her to come. Yes, to come to His table. And just like Boaz invited Ruth, so we find that the Lord Jesus has invited us to come to His table. It's a wonderful thing to be at His table. And as I shared with you last week, you are either at the table of the Lord or you are at the table of the devil. Do you know, my friends, if you know what it is to be at the table of the Lord and to come and get from all that He wants to give you, then you should also want to be at the Lord's Supper. We talked about that last week, how important it is to come to the Lord's Supper, because at the Lord's Supper we come to give, but at the Lord's table we come to give. And you'll remember that after she was finished eating with Him, why, He said to the servants, you just drop some handfuls on purpose in front of her. And oh my, how that reminds me of what the Lord has done for us. That He just drops it into our lap, as it were. He has met our every need. And He'll do for us far more than we can ask or think. And so we found out that at the end of that day, that she had gathered 10 times the amount that the children of Israel would have gathered when they gathered their manna in a day. Yes, she had enough for she and Naomi for 5 days. And she came home. And when she came home, Naomi spoke up and said, Blessed is he that taketh notice of you. And that the Lord hath not left off His kindness. And she asked that question to her, Where did you glean today? Remember, that was the question that I ended with last week. Where have you gleaned? And you know, God wants us to glean from the Word of God. I wonder, today, where were you gleaning? What did you open up to and find as the Lord gave you something from His hand? I thought that was an exciting thing, that when Ruth came to the table of Boaz, that Boaz reached out with his own hand and gave her that corn. Just like the Lord wants to give you something individually. You see, it's one thing to get something from a person who preaches or gives forth the word, but it's another thing to just get it yourself from the Lord as you spend time gleaning in the Word of God. And so Ruth said to Naomi as she came, "The man's name where I was gleaning today, Mom, was a man by the name of Boaz." Boaz? Why, Naomi's countenance must have changed as she heard that. Why, he's one of our near kinsmen. She didn't say that he was the kinsman redeemer. No, she just said he was one of the near relatives. And how that reminds me, too, of the fact that oftentimes, you know, that people, they recognize that the Lord Jesus is a prophet or a teacher, but they don't recognize that he's the one that wants to be the Redeemer. And Ruth went on to say, "And you know, he was so kind to me. He said to me, I don't want you to go into any other fields, but just stay in my fields throughout all of the harvest time." And you know, the Word of God tells us this too, that we as believers should hear the words where it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." You know, it's important for us to stay together in the fellowship. It's important for us to assemble together for prayer, for the breaking of bread, and for the teaching of the Word. We need to gather together in fellowship. And oh, that each one of us might see the necessity of that even more and more as we see that His coming is very near. And so we find that Ruth did exactly that. She stayed in the fields all during the time of the barley season. And she gleaned. She continued to glean during the time of the wheat season. And she was there and brought home and shared with her mother-in-law, Naomi. It was after the end of the wheat harvest that Naomi spoke to Ruth, and she said to her, "Would you like me to find rest for you, my daughter, so that you would have someone that could protect you, someone that could shelter you, someone that could love you?" I don't suppose that Ruth thought there were any chances at all for her to have a husband, because she was a Moabitess and she was now in the land of Israel. But Naomi, she went on to explain to her, "You see, you have the right, Ruth, to stake your claim. And you can go to the kinsman, who happens to be Boaz, and you can ask him to be your kinsman redeemer, to buy you, to marry you, to protect you, and to love you and care for you." And so when Naomi explained to her her rights, how that she could go and stake a claim, what Naomi said to her is this: "You will find that the man will be winnowing the wheat. And after he's finished separating the good from the bad, at night he'll take his rest there on the threshing floor. And what you need to do is you need to mark the spot where he lies down, and there you lie down at his feet. But before you go, what you need to do is you need to lay aside your widow garments, and You also need to wash yourself and to anoint yourself with perfume, and then you go and do that. Now, she was not asking her to do something sinful. No, not at all. What she was doing is asking her to go and put her claim in, to stake her claim. And I want to say to you tonight, my friends, that God wants you also to stake your claim. You see, you have a right, each and every one of us, to ask the Lord to be our Redeemer. He wants to redeem you, but He wants you to ask for that. And so we find that what Naomi was asking her to do was not something to do that was sinful, but something to do which was really great. And so we find that she, being an obedient daughter-in-law, she did exactly that. She went to the fields where we find that Boaz was winnowing the wheat. Oh no, winnowing the barley, I mean to say. And as he was doing that, night became, and he went to the spot, and there he lay down. And when he was fast asleep, we find that Ruth, she went in and she uncovered his feet, and she lay at his feet. Well, the Bible tells us it was at 12 o'clock midnight when he turned over. And when Boaz turned over, he realized that there was a woman at his feet. And he woke up and he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am thy handmaid, Ruth. And I have come to ask you to come and spread your skirt over me." Now, what she was asking for was not for sex. What she was asking for him to be her protector, to be her husband, to be her redeemer. Oh, when he realized what she was asking for, why, he was so excited and filled with joy. Oh, it was a great day of rejoicing for him. And as I think of how he rejoiced, why, I think of the Lord again as we read those words in Isaiah where it says, "As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so the Lord thy God rejoiceth over thee." Then we read those words in Zephaniah chapter 3 tonight and verse 17 where it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, he is mighty. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love and he will joy over thee with singing." Oh my, the Lord is so thrilled when we come to him. I like that verse too in Luke where it says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And so there was great joy that night. And we find that Boaz said to her, "What I want you to do is I want you to stay here tonight. It's too late for you to go home. It would be dangerous and it's too dark. And so you stay here. But I want you to rise up before the light comes and then return home. I'll do everything that I can, but I must tell you that there is one that is a closer redeemer, or a closer kinsman than I." And so he said to her to stay the night. Now she stayed the night, but there was nothing sinfully done. But early in the morning, just before the light began to break, both she and he got up. He wanted her to leave before anyone would see that she had spent the night there at the threshing floor. Now, there was nothing done wrong, but you know, people a lot of times begin to talk and they don't even know the facts. And so we find that here, just as she was about to depart, he went and got her about 50 pounds of grain and helped put it up on her shoulder and to take it home. You know, he sent her on her way and he said, I'll do what I can do to redeem you. Oh, I want to tell you, my friends, yes, the Lord, he is able to redeem. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. Not only that, we read about the Lord that he is willing to save. He's not only able, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And then we also read in the book of Proverbs where the Lord is mighty to save. He is able, he's willing, and he's mighty. And you know, until he takes us as his bride, why, you see, he meets our every need. Just like we find that Boaz, yes, gave her some grain and carried it home so that she had enough to eat and for her mother-in-law as well. So I will tell you this, that the Lord will meet our every need. Well, when she arrived home with this 50 pounds, why, we find that the mother-in-law Naomi said, who are you, my daughter? Now you might say, that's sort of an odd question to ask. She knew very well who she was. Remember the last time when she asked a question, where have you gleaned today? Well, she wasn't looking at the grain that she brought home. No, what Naomi asked was this, who are you, my daughter? In other words, the question was asked because what she wanted to know is, did Boaz pop the question? Did he ask you? Would he be your redeemer? And then she told him. Or she told her, rather. She said, you know, mother, he said he would do all that he could to redeem me, but he said there was a closer redeemer, a closer kinsman than him. And then Naomi said to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, till thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be at rest until he hath finished the thing this day. Oh, Naomi, she was asking her to sit still. You know, sometimes we find that very difficult, is to sit still. But I like that verse where it says in Psalms 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And so Ruth was told to just sit still and to wait. Well, Naomi was absolutely right. She knew that he would not be able to rest until he had finished it. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was able to rest in the fact that the work was finished. But oh, my friends, his love has not rested. Oh, no, his love is still reaching out for those that are lost. And his love will still be active until that last individual comes to know him. And then when the last person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, to complete the bride of Christ, then we're going to be caught up together to meet him in the air. I wonder tonight, if the Lord Jesus Christ should come with that shout, are you part of the bride of Christ? And would you be caught up to meet him? Yes, to be part of the bride. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised that he's coming back and he will not rest until he has finished the work. Yes, we find that Boaz did exactly what Naomi said he would do. He did not rest. For that morning, he got up and he went to the city gate. And outside the city gate, there he waited for the closer kinsman to come by. He knew that he would pass through the gate that day. And so he sat there. And as that kinsman came, he said to him, ho! Sit down for a moment because I want to talk to you about a business deal. And at the same time, what he did is he drew 10 of the elders aside, their elders of the city, and asked them to sit down to be a witness of the transaction that was going to take place outside the gate. And so as they sat down, it was Boaz who explained to this kinsman that was nearer than he about the fact that Naomi had a parcel of land that she wanted to sell. And it was up for sale, and because it belonged to the late their late brother Elimelech. And when he mentioned it to the kinsman, why, he was all excited about it. He said, "I'll buy that. That's good property." "Oh," he said, "but you know, the day that you buy it, you must also buy it from the hand of Ruth, the Moabitess, who is the wife of Mahlon." And when he heard that, he said, "Well, I can't do that." He said, "If I do that, that would mar my inheritance. I couldn't possibly do that." He said, "You buy it then." And so he said to Boaz that he could have the right to buy the property, because you see, Boaz wanted to marry Ruth, but this kinsman, no. He knew that if he did that, that would mar his inheritance. And so we find that, who is this kinsman? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Who is he a picture of? Well, in Galatians chapter 4, we read these words about the fact of Abraham. There were two sons. There was the one son, the firstborn, who was born of the bondwoman. Yes? And then the second son, who was born of the free woman. The first son that was born of the bondwoman. Oh, that reminds us of the law. But the second son that was born of the free woman reminds us of that which speaks of grace. Now, what does the law do for us? Why, what the law does, it condemns us. It tells us that we're guilty. Yes, the law makes it very clear that we are guilty, and what we deserve is everlasting damnation. What can the law do for us? It can't save us. All it does is condemn us. And you see, the law in this case too, as we find in the parallel. Why? This man, he couldn't do anything for her because, you see, it would mar his inheritance. The law is absolutely perfect. And so we find that the law can do nothing to save us. Some people think that their good works will get them to heaven. But remember what the Word of God says. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it in one point, he is guilty of all. Yes. The law, we can't keep it. And the law can do nothing but show to us that we're guilty and bound for destruction. And so we find that this man, he couldn't do it. He couldn't redeem her because it would mar his inheritance. And so we find that in order to complete the transaction, what the man needed to do was to take off his shoe. And he did. And give it to Boaz. Now, of course, you know what that's significant about, because of the fact that the shoe is what you put on your foot. And you walk on it. And what you do is you are able now to walk over that property and to claim it and say that it's yours. And so we find that Boaz took that shoe and the deal was sealed. It was done in the sight of 10 witnesses. You know, there's 10 parts to the law. There's the 10 commandments. And you know, it was sealed And they were the witnesses that he had the right to buy that land from Naomi, but also the right to take Ruth to be his wife. Well, I want to share with you, just like there was that great transaction that day for him, there was a greater transaction that took place outside the city gate of Jerusalem. Oh, it was right out in the open so that everyone could see it, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for your sins and for mine. Yes, as I already mentioned, the book of Proverbs says he's mighty to save. The book of Hebrews tells us that he's able to save. And we also find that the Lord is willing to save. Tonight, yes, I want to share with you that outside the city gate, that Jesus Christ gave his life for your sins and for mine. It was done in the open. And oh, there, as the Lord died on that cross, how much we owe him. Our love, yes, when we stop to think that he loves us enough to pay the price for our sin. And we can become part of the bride of Christ. Well, outside the city gate, there were those that came and they mocked him. They laughed at him. They asked him to come down. Oh, but my, if the Lord Jesus would have come down from that cross, you and I wouldn't have been able to get eternal life. Sin has got to be paid for. The Lord Jesus Christ, outside that city gate, was willing to pay the price for our sins. Yes, and as you know, the Lord Jesus died, but he's no longer on the cross. Sorry about that. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, but he's no longer on that cross. I'm so glad to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. You know, he's not on the cross. That's where the people know him. History knows it. Everyone knows that Jesus Christ died. But the big problem comes in is that people do not want to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. But he is. Jesus Christ is living. And because he lives, you and I also can have eternal life. He died. Yes, the people know that. But do they believe that he's alive? So many people leave Jesus Christ on the cross. They don't take in the fact that Jesus Christ is living for them now. And he's coming back. Well, it was a great day of rejoicing for Boaz and Ruth. And they were united in marriage. And oh, the Lord blessed that marriage. It was a great marriage because the fact that God blessed them, and as time passed by, they were able to have a child. Most interesting, because I told you that this book, as far as many people are concerned, it should have almost been called the Book of Naomi. She is the chief character. And when the child was born, even though it was Ruth that bore the child, the women of the city said, "A child is born to Naomi." Yes, because you see, Naomi is a picture of Israel. And they said to her, "You know, Naomi, that your daughter-in-law, she is better to you than seven sons." And this child that is born, why, it's a restorer to you of life and a nourishment to your life as well. A restorer in your old age. And we're going to find out that the children of Israel once again will be restored unto the Lord. Yes, it was Ruth who had that baby. And the women of the city came in to see the baby. But as the women from the city came to see the child, it was they who named the baby. It wasn't Ruth that named the baby. It wasn't a Boaz that named the baby. But the women of the city gave the child the name of Obed. Yes, they came in and they named this little one Obed, whose name means worshiper or servant. And we're going to find out that the day is going to come that Israel's going to recognize who the Lord is. And they'll worship Him and they'll also serve Him. But it's interesting to notice that it's Naomi who takes care of the baby. Yes, I'm sure Ruth did too. But you see, here we have that Naomi has the baby in her arms. Do you remember what Naomi said when she came back into the land? She said, "I went out full, but I came back empty." But oh my, her hands and arms were full now, for she had that little one, who they called Obed. This little one, of course, grew up. And as that little baby grew, in time, that child became a father, then a grandfather, then a great-grandfather, and a great-great-grandfather. It was from the family line of this little one, Obed, that the Lord Jesus, yes, was born into. The Lord Jesus, when He was born, came from the family line, right here. And what a remarkable thing to think about Ruth. Here was a Moabitess who found that she was forgiven. Oh, what a great thing to know that your sins are forgiven. But not only did she find out that she was forgiven, she found out that she was in the family line. Yes, that she was in the family. In the book of Matthew, where we read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, there we find four women that are mentioned. And among those women that are mentioned, Ruth is one. She is in the family of God, forgiven. I want to tell you tonight as I close this message that you too can be forgiven and you can be in the family of God. Every eye closed and head bowed. Again, Heavenly Father, as we bow in Your presence, we just want to thank You for the Word of God. And I just pray that You'll use the message, particularly if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that they might take it in, that Your love is still reaching out to them and You're not resting with Your love until the bride is complete. We pray that each one here can truly say that they are part of the bride of Christ. And now, Lord, we just ask too that we might be those that would be willing to serve You. But first of all, that we might know the joy of doing as You've asked us to do, is to come and remember You at the Lord's Supper and worship You as well. So bless us now as we part, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.